Today on this special edition of Straight Talk Africa, a conversation on the significance of the Mandela Washington Fellowship, or YALI, the Young African Leaders Initiative. Could this initiative be part of a solution to what some have characterized as leadership deficit in Africa? That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America headquarters here in Washington. I am Shaka Sali. Today, we host a special presentation of Straight Talk Africa called U.S. and Africa, a fellowship inspiring young leaders. Look out for this studio audience filled with many inspiring young leaders. They are all part of the Mandela Washington Fellowship, known to many as YALI, or Young African Leaders Initiative. These fellows are marking the fifth anniversary of the program by pledging to find meaningful ways to carry on the legacy of Nelson Mandela, who would have turned 100 years this past July. During this special edition of Straight Talk Africa, we will look at the accomplishments of the fellows and the lasting connections for the fellows and the U.S. sponsors. Joining us here in Washington are four distinguished Mandela Washington Fellows: Nomfumo Mukize from Durban, South Africa; Clifford Niba Akonye from Cameroon; Bemba Cabinet Koita from Guinea; and Luisa Nakamuku Diggs, a 2018 Reciprocal Exchange Awardee, is from Namibia, but she is now a U.S. citizen. And last but not least, Rick Ernest Bonia, a 2015 Mandela Washington Fellow, who joined us live via Skype from Mauritius. Well, I have to say, fellows, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you so much, Shaka.
You're most welcome.
Thank you.
Hello, Cliff. How are you?
I'm fine.
You're fine. So we go to our Skype guest in Mauritius. Good evening.
Hello. Hello, how are you?
I am terrific. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm great. I'm very happy to be with you guys tonight.
It's a pleasure talking with you, of course, from all the way beautiful Mauritius. Is it as beautiful as they say?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it has beautiful beaches. The weather is pretty much good. But, of course, as of a country, we also have our challenge also. But which is very great is it's a very peaceful country, and also it's multicultural. It's like a rainbow.
A rainbow sort of like South Africa.
Yeah, so you have everybody, white, black people, you have Indian, Chinese, you have Creole, Telugu, Muslim. So we are very, very mixed. Lots of cultures.
Very interesting. And of course, we also gather that your country probably must be in the top five in terms of democracy on the continent. What about that?
Yes. We are doing very good in terms of democracy and also in terms of accessibility, especially with education and healthcare. There's still some work to do, but we are doing very good into giving chance everybody, and also especially with education now we can get up to tertiary level with some really good help from the government. And also with the healthcare. So basically, the combination of these two make a very smart population, but also a very healthy population. And yeah. Also, there's a good chance also. So basically, you can have your chance to go pretty well in Mauritius.
It is very interesting, frankly, to learn that in Africa, there is a country like Mauritius where the fundamentals of life, talking about education, talking about healthcare, are rights, not privileges.
Yes, yeah.
Very interesting, Rick. When you look back to your fellowship days, what was the most important lesson that you learned, really?
So basically, when I was in the U.S. for the fellowship in 2015, the university was very great because we learned so many different, not only different subjects, but also different. We work on different case study, and also we learn about other people's challenges and other people's innovations across the continent, and we have got a lot of connection with different people professionally that I can talk about that a little bit later. But everything was great. I was basically based in UC, in University of California in Berkeley, and it was a very good atmosphere there. I spent a great 6 weeks learning about different things and meeting people who are on my field. So basically, it was very helpful in my career. And then after this, we got the chance to go to DC, where we have our previous president of the US, Barack Obama, where we get the chance to meet him. That was very inspiring, and also his message was very inspiring in terms of Africa and the belief that he's investing in young leaders. And after this, I went on a professional development experience where I was with the National Park Service in North Carolina. And this also was a very great experience because I'm a marine biologist, and they actually put me together with marine biologists working on sea turtle, but also innovative technologies that is very helping me now, basically. So it was a very, very great experience.
It's very interesting that you mentioned that you actually went to University of California at Berkeley. While you were there, Rick, were you able to walk along Telegraph Street?
Walk? Yes, yes. That was very great to walk around there.
To walk around Telegraph Street and see how people are free.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So that was very open-minded, yeah. So basically it was a very great experience to basically see other culture and also see how, as you say, how people are free.
As you celebrate, with your fellows 5 years of the Mandela Washington Fellowship, what is the most important thing, frankly, that comes to mind?
So basically, after the fellowship, it's not only that the fellowship is finished and I go back to my country and I just do my normal routine, but a lot of things change. For example, my personal development changed. So now I know exactly how to do a professional plan for my career. And also with a reciprocal exchange program, I managed to bring Ben Novak, who is a scientist working on biotechnology, to Mauritius. And I was very proudly making him meet with different government institutions and also some students and talking about biotechnology in the U.S. and how we can use it in Mauritius. So this is a very good follow-up on after the fellowship. And now I just basically take out my new invention to the world a few weeks ago. And it's basically an invention that take out ocean plastic out of the water. As you all know, ocean plastic is a huge problem. And so by developing this machine, I'm using a lot of my contact that I got from the Mandela Fellowship Program to help me. So from the North Carolina Coastal Institute and also from different people that I met in California also. And basically, I'm connecting a lot with them, and we're talking a lot about how we can move this project further. So there's a lot of follow-up after the Mandela Washington Fellowship, and also, which is very good, it is that it was a really good momentum, because these people keep the momentum with you, and they keep sending you email, and I keep replying, and this is very great. So it's a very, very great program.
Final question, and very, very briefly, Rick, do you have any specific message for the current group of the Mandela Washington Fellows right here in Studio 47?
So one of the very important message is basically keep the momentum and also keep all business cards you have. Everybody you met is for a reason, and basically these people are really here to help you, and also it's very important to keep this energy and keep being proud of being a Mandela Fellow, basically, and keep it alive and keep connecting with all the fellows, keep connecting with the mentors and all the professionals that you met.
Well, our thanks, of course, to Rick Ernest Bonia, a 2015 Mandela Washington Fellow, who joined us live via Skype from Mauritius. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, guys, and have a great day.
You're most welcome, brother. Now, let's look at Yali Yamayen and her accomplishments.
My name is Yar Mayen. I'm a South Sudanese. I work at the University of Juba as a lecturer. I also work as a deputy director in the office of the vice chancellor. Twice a week or three times a week, I go to MRDC clinic. It's a diplomatic clinic in Juba that does humanitarian operation for South Sudanese. So once or twice a week, I would go there to help with the operation as a surgical nurse. My days are very tight on the time we are having operation, because if I finish early from the operation, I have to run back to uni. I went to school and I studied so hard, because I knew if I study hard, then I'll get out of Kakuma, get a scholarship and leave Kakuma. But I went to Kakuma on my own. My parents and family had remained back. So I went to Kakuma because I wanted to go to school. So I left my whole family there and walked 2 weeks to Kakuma. People are so discouraged here. Things have been going down. Life is getting harder. We have a lot of ideas. We don't know what to do with them. So I'm hoping after going to the US and going through the training and sharing my experiences with the African, maybe I'll come back with more motivation and more ways of dealing with things here. There's a lot that comes with education, you know, understanding of the future, working hard, understanding unity. For example, at uni, we really try to bring students together. We try to give them a common ground that we all South Sudanese, and we shouldn't go on tribal line. That cannot come easily if somebody is not open-minded. And there's something about education that makes you look beyond your boundaries. So it's very important for us.
Thank you very much. Let me come to you immediately, Nomfundo. I hope I did not murder your name.
No, you didn't. Saubona Shag.
Really? Thank you so much. Of course, I have that wonderful magazine from the South African Airways you just mentioned, their message.
Exactly. Saubona, it's also a greeting in my language, which is isiZulu. In South Africa. So we say Saubona, which simply means I see you and I acknowledge your existence.
The feeling is mutual.
Thank you.
Let me ask you this question. How does it really feel for you? And I want you to talk to me, by the way, from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your South African heart and soul. How does it really feel for you to be part of this Mandela Washington Fellowship, a program named after the Madiba himself from your own country?
Well, Shaga, one of the greatest regrets I have in my life is that Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela passed away without me ever having the honor of meeting him. But I think through the many South Africans that I've had the opportunity of interacting with on a daily basis back home, I've been able to meet Nelson in a different way. We are often encouraged back home to stick to his legacy, his kindness, his forgiveness, his tolerance, and his fight for unification of the country. So many South Africans are fighting that cause and believe in that cause and have that spirit of unification and of equality in the country. So when you meet and you interact with those South Africans, you can't help but believe that Dada lives in bits and pieces in all of us, all 55 million of us back home.
Interesting. To what extent, at least so far, has this fellowship met your expectations?
It's smashed my expectations out of the park. Absolutely. Into smithereens. You know, I came here knowing that I was going to meet amazing, great young African leaders. And I thought, yes, we'll keep contact and we'll have connections. But I didn't think that I was going to find friends here in this fellowship. And I think one of the hardest things when you come from the African continent where the economy is not so good, so traveling intercontinental, intercountry is just not as easy or affordable for most citizens, it becomes harder and harder to connect with your fellow African brothers on the continent, especially all the way down in the south. So coming here and forming genuine connections with young African leaders and forming genuine friendships that are going to serve you personally moving forward, but also serve you in your career moving forward. That, for me, has been one of the biggest gains from this form of fellowship. I had to leave Africa in order to meet Africa.
What about the fact that you come from a relatively democratic nation on the African continent, and you have to interact with lots of your sisters and brothers who probably don't really quite come from the same sort of circumstances or conditions?
I think definitely that is true. South Africa is very fortunate with the painful past that we have, but we also have a bright future ahead of us, and we're working hard to be united and to create an even better future that is equal. And I'm happy to say that it's the young people again who are championing this cause in South Africa. So I think the lovely thing about South Africa is it's a country where you have a poor class, you have a middle class, and you have, you know, the elitist class. And the nice thing about that in South Africa is that you could be a girl with a rural background like myself, coming all the way from Durban, Mkomazi, in Tlazuga, but also who was able to get education in relatively good high schools in South Africa, with good education in South Africa, who's been able to live in the city. So you have the best of both worlds. I've had the best of both worlds, exposure to people who have not or have not much, and exposure to people who have much and still aspire to have more. So I think that also served me quite well, part of this program, to be able to connect with my different brothers and sisters from the continent who come from different backgrounds, and it made me relatable.
I have been very, very lucky to have had the opportunity to breathe the air in Durban and KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa.
It's beautiful. We've got so many trees and so many animals, and it's all fresh.
Incredible. Let me come to you, Clifford. You come from the other side. You come from pretty much Central Africa.
Yes.
What has it been like in terms of your experience in as far as the Washington Mandela Fellowship is concerned?
Actually, it has been an awesome experience, one that even went beyond my expectations. And just to tell you a little bit of how I feel, I actually extended my flight to stay in the U.S. for one more month. But apparently, I want to shift it back to go back because I think I'm armed enough to go and implement some of the projects that have been shaped on here in the United States of America. That's the feeling that I go with. I've had an awesome fellowship at the Presidential Precinct, which has taught me a lot about going beyond just the normal, about leaving history behind. We visited actually the founding fathers' homes. We were able to get history about Madison, Jefferson, Monroe. We were able to know how they came with so far with slavery, and how America has gotten over slavery and how they fought for freedom and how America is doing everything to leave that behind. And so I've had that in mind, and I'm taking it back to my country for us to leave the past behind and take the youth, network with the youth, build synergies across Cameroon, across Africa, and brand ourselves as a new generation to be able to move beyond our plight as Africans, but to think more like Africans, look for African solutions and build synergies with the U.S. to be able to move forward from the past.
You talk about the monuments, of course, of former American presidents. Have you been able, for example, to visit the monument of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.?
Unfortunately, I have not been able to, even though he's a great idol that that actually inspires my work. And I work around political spaces. And my essential question is actually how to create safe spaces for young Africans in party politics and democratic processes. And I always look at Martin Luther King and say, if this guy had been in a safe place, America would have been great since his time. And so I actually admire him a lot. And I think that us, the Mandela Washington Fellows, we came here because the State Department, coupled with great work from IREX, saw that we aim at things that are greater than our visions.
So you probably would agree with some who actually refer to Martin Luther King Jr. as the conscience of America.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Very interesting, because that's why I also like this program, Straight Talk, because just like Martin was very straight to the point. He fought for freedom. He died for freedom. And so I think that like the Mandela Washington Fellowship, we have to go beyond our might. And it is important for us to build synergies, to create safe spaces for Mandela Washington Fellows where they can actually impact their societies. We actually work within very close spaces and difficult spaces, and we need the spaces to be opened up for Mandela Fellows to be selected out of thousands. For example, from Cameroon, 17 out of 1,275 issues that you have something to offer to society. It's disheartening if you have to go back and you can give back because of close political spaces. It's very essential for us to create safe spaces, and we have one way forward, and that the world can provide for the young people, and that is technology.
Clifford, you come from the Cameroon,
yes.
Where you do have President Paul Biya, has been in power since 1982, the last time I checked.
Yes.
What would you say is the single most important lesson that you have learned in this fellowship that you are very, very proud to take back to Yaoundé?
The first thing that I've learned is from Honorable Charles Thomas, during my fellowship. We got to learn that at 32 he became a Supreme Court judge, despite the fact that racism was at its height in Charlottesville at that time. He was able to dare into difficult spaces and make his voice heard. I have gotten courage from the Mandela Washington Fellowship to be a bridge for the young people in Cameroon and speak out for them. Somebody must do the sacrifice, and a group of young people must do the sacrifice for the country. And one of the sacrifices that we have to do for the country is to be able to network with young people, create safe spaces for them. But obviously, we need we need to build synergy and a brand across Africa as young people. And I know that the Mandela Washington Fellowship is interested in our connectedness. For us to brand ourselves as civic leaders across Africa, across especially Central African region, it gives us the force for us to be able to come together and brand ourselves to take over new leadership. And that is why I pilot the Not Too Young to Vote campaign, where it's going to build a platform of 2 million young Cameroonians to be able to mobilize them to vote, to advocate for electoral integrity and non-violence, and to tell them that there is a way out at the ballot box.
Thank you very much. Now it's time to interact with the studio audience. Do you have any questions?
Hello, my name is Shaban from Uganda. Pleasure to be here. My grandfather is a huge fan of yours, Shaka, so I'm sure he's going to be waving when I go back to Uganda.
Profoundly honored for your and your father's compliments.
Yes. to the amazing panel, the fellows. I don't speak for everybody but myself. This has been an amazing program. And you leave the continent and get to the U.S., you know, ready to learn and learn and learn again. And that has been the journey that I have been a part of. But you learn so much and get so much connections and have a lot of plans when you go back home and to the continent. And then get back to reality that, you know, the change that you want to see is not going to happen overnight, you know. The system's in place. Uganda has its own challenges, as, you know, the rest of other countries in Africa. And just want to hear from the fellows, you know, coming from the States and being impacted so much by this program that you feel so much empowered to go and change the continent. Getting back home and being hit by reality, how do you stay sane, you know, and not have your courage and your passion to create change getting shattered by what you know and what you know you can do, and then getting, you know, set back by the same community that you want to impact so positively, and continuing that zeal to continue to change the continent? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next. Okay, before we listen to the next question from the audience, what about Bemba? You come from Guinea?
Yes, Guinea-Conakry.
The proud land of the late Sekou Touré.
Yes, that's right.
Independence, 1958.
Yeah, 2nd of October, 1958.
Very interesting. Would you like to answer the question that came from Shaban in Uganda?
Yeah, I believe that Yali is a challenge, because once you are a Yali fellow, you also need to give back something to the society. It's all about what you want to achieve back home. Like for me, for instance, I know areas where I want to focus on in order to help my community, because I believe in entrepreneurship, I believe in young entrepreneurship. Guinea, the young men and women in Guinea, they are so much dragged by politics that politics is affecting everything. But it's my duty as a Mandela fellow to make sure that young men and women, they are not that dragged by politics, but there is other things that they could do, that is entrepreneurship, because joblessness makes young men and women dragged by politics. So I always challenge myself that it's my right, my duty to go out there and make sure that young men are not being utilized by politicians, but rather utilized in a way that they could also make something tangible for themselves by ways of entrepreneurship.
Very good. Let's go to the audience. Your name and affiliation.
My name is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Obviously, I'm a little too old to be Yali. Although I'd love to be. But my question is to you fellows up there and some that are here, that how would you aspire somebody who's out there in rural Africa? I'm from Zimbabwe, in rural Zimbabwe. How do they get onto this program? And what is the need for people to be comfortable about telling their stories? Because most people grow up really hiding their stories of how they grow up. How does that play into the application for Yali, being able to tell your story and how you're going to come back and impact where you're coming from?
Well, Louise from Namibia, from beautiful Warups Bay, beautiful Windhoek.
So I'm not a Yali fellow, but I can share the experience of the Yali fellow from Botswana, who comes from a rural area as well. And he heard about Yali, the program, through looking through Facebook because a lot of people are now connected, especially in certain rural areas in Africa. They've leapfrogged where they might not have landlines, but a lot of people have access to cell phones. And so the YALI program advertised on social, on Facebook, and that's how he found out about it. And he actually applied through his phone for the program and was accepted. But he's also a person that is a go-getter and an initiative. It takes a lot of initiative. And so reached out to other people as well. So I think the information is there. It might be a little bit harder being in a rural area. But there are some opportunities. I think it's just a matter of trying to connect with people and being open about it and your dreams.
Well, tell us a little bit about your particular category. You are not a YALI fellow, but you are a reciprocal exchange awardee. What's that? And what kind of relationship does it really have? With the Madiba.
So we hosted the Mandela Fellow for the professional development experience. And upon his return, he was very excited about everything that he was learning, and he really wanted to give back in his way. And so he reached out to us at the office. I work at a nonprofit, Radiant Earth Foundation. And we work with geospatial data, and we make that available to the global development community. And so he really wanted to bring all these new technologies to Botswana, especially to students. And there was this one experience that we had. He really wanted to learn a little bit more about remote sensing. And so I introduced him to the online classes, the MOOCs, that's free and available. And he was so amazed by it. It's like, I can take this class and it's free and I don't have to pay for it, and I can get a world-class education through it. And so as we were discussing and going back and forth by email, and when the opportunity came to provide a proposal to go back to take a project to Africa, he wanted to bring this information to Botswana. And so we set up a 4-day technical workshop where we focus on hands-on training for mapping and remote sensing training using open source technologies. And we connected with different groups, different young groups in Botswana through the University of Botswana, and really made it a participatory event where we expose people to the different open source technologies that they can do hands-on training and take that technologies and run with it and do with it whatever they can, because the technologies are open and available for people to use.
Very interesting. Unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally. It's time now to look at YALI, Rabia Hawa, and her accomplishments.
When I first got interested in wildlife conservation when I was very young, because my father had always made sure that we were living close to wildlife, and even when we weren't living close to wildlife, we'd always visit national parks or areas that had wildlife in them. And so I think for me, just because I love animals, conservation was the perfect perfect field for me to get involved in, because I just have a passion for wild spaces and wild things. I do believe that women can do this job, and I don't think that women should be put down or seen as inferior or even seen as incapable of doing this job. I've been doing it for, 9 years now? And I think that I've reached a position where a lot of rangers know me now, a lot of sergeants and colonels know me now, and there is that level of mutual respect as there would have been if I was a man. The poachers come in on the ground and they're shooting elephants on the ground. And the only thing that's going to stand in between an elephant and a poacher's bullet is a ranger. Life in the bush is pretty unpredictable, and every day is a new day, it's a new experience, and you just have to be alert.
YALI program, I think, is really interesting, and I chose the civic leadership track because I think it is going to help me in my work now and also hopefully in the future. You know, a lot of people think that conservationists are protecting wildlife and natural spaces because we enjoy it, which is true. But then the greater reason for doing that is because we really understand the intrinsic values of wildlife and the environment on future generations and the communities that exist around them.
Thank you very much. Let's go back to the studio audience. Your name and affiliation, please.
Hello, my name is Shaima. I'm from Sudan. I have a question for the fellows. You being leaders back in your countries and now having the title of a Mandela Washington Fellow put before your names, how do you ensure that this doesn't create a gap between you and the society and the communities that you're trying to enhance and the young people who work with you? We all know that not everyone gets the chance to come to the U.S. for the Mandela Washington Fellowship. How do you make sure that there is no gap between you and the people you're working with?
Thank you very much. Mfundo, could you please respond to that?
Thank you so much, Shaima. I was with Shaima at the University of Notre Dame under the Business and Entrepreneurship track. She's also my roommate currently while we are doing our PDE. She's one of the friends that I've made while being here. Thank you for that question, Shaima. And I think it's so important that being a Mandela Washington Fellow has taken precedent over our official names. I mean, that's how we introduce ourselves moving forward from here on. And I was worried, and I've been pondering about it actually while being here, saying, will this not create an elitist mentality when you go back home, where we connect with each other and keep the resources within each other as a network back in South Africa or back on the continent? And I think it's going to be very important not to do that. But I think it ties nicely to the question we had earlier on from Marvelous from Zimbabwe about the importance of the fellowship being varied and the fellowship being able to attract beyond just urbanized young people to be a part of it. The fellowship needs to attract young people who are from rural areas, because then we'll have a true reflection of the youth or the young people of Africa that are going to build Africa. I mean, entrepreneurship, civic leadership, public management is not just limited to people who are in urban spaces that are functioning properly. It's also in the rural areas. So I think that's a challenge for us as Mandela Fellows, that we're going to have to go back to our communities. And if we have access to rural and peri-urban spaces, we have to go there. And part of the mandate of the fellowship is, how are you going to go back and impact your community and impact those communities? So that's a responsibility that lies on us, and we have to come up with tangible programs that shares the knowledge that we have, which is another thing that I love. So others might not have the opportunity or access to us, but we surely have opportunities and access to them, and to share the knowledge on how to be better leaders on the continent and how to grow better personally. I always say I went to Notre Dame. Most of us went to Notre Dame with a business model that worked. We came out of there thinking, wow, we've pivoted so much, because they had to deconstruct our business models in order to construct them so that they can work in any context. Because we're going to go back to different contexts, Shaban, where we're going to have all these challenges. But I was fortunate enough that I was at a university that understood this. And so they said, we don't want to give you any funding, or we don't want to give you any competitions to access to funding. We just want to tool you, so that if you decide to be a leader that's set up in America or set up in Asia or set up on the continent, but you're still going to make it and your business model is still going to work. So I think if other universities are like that, and I'm sure they were, my colleagues can attest, then I think we've been well equipped by the fellowship, and other people in rural areas definitely need access to that too.
You know, the interesting thing is that when you talk about Notre Dame University in this country, the first thing that comes to mind is about their excellency in their football, American football program.
Yes.
So you mean they can actually do much better than football?
So two things is football. They have a $17 million football stadium that they invested in. 70,000, the capacity of it is 70,000, and they get filled up all the time. But another thing, they have a program called their STEAM program, which is a master's program, and it's around entrepreneurship. Mm. They've gone in a drive, which was another interesting aspect to see. We didn't only see the glamorous America. We got to see 50 shades of America while being here. So we got to see the unglamorous side of America. We were in a community called South Bend.
It was
quite interesting to see that poverty also affects America as much as poverty affects Africa. Of course, at different scales and different levels. But what the university has done, they've gone back and they've attracted their brightest minds in the university to come up with solutions to solve the problems that face and hinder the community by using entrepreneurship. That's another skill that we learned, that any problem that's facing a community, put together your brightest minds and they can definitely come up with those problems to drive entrepreneurship, drive business and job creation. And we're definitely also taking that back home.
Very interesting. Let me come to you, Clifford. There have been some criticism from some African leaders, some might call them rulers, that America has no business in creating leaders or future leaders for Africa. How do you respond to that?
Good luck. that's a very good one. But fortunately, I expected that question. The world has moved beyond that and should move beyond that, because with a key player like China, Africa has to look at America, America has to look at Africa. They basically have no choice. And it's going to be very wise for both parties to play the politics together. Africa has a great opportunity for trade in future, and America has a limited opportunity for trade. China is a growing power. America needs always, as I know them, to be the greatest power. And America definitely needs Africa. But coming back to the actual question for the Africans is that you must always learn to get into win-win relationships. I know our hearts are broken with colonialism, and probably there is another scramble for Africa with neo-colonialism. But that's what is going to make you a great African leader, if you can break through this. You need to go into win-win deals with all honesty. And if our leaders remain true to their people, they are going to get into win-win deals. If we have people-driven governments and leaders that before any decision they take, they think about the growth of their communities, economic, social growth of their communities, I think we can get into serious partnerships that are going to help Africa.
Wait a minute, Clifford. You talk about something very important. You talk about win-win situation. Yes. What does that really mean besides talking the talk?
Yeah, when I talk about win-win for me personally, there's one thing I look at. Africa has the investment opportunities for the West, and the West has technology. I give you, for example, young people in Africa don't need guns anymore. We have a gun that the West has, and it's technology.
And we do not manufacture those guns. And yet, if you talk about what goes into manufacturing those guns, actually, where does it come from? Africa.
That is a critical question that surrounds terrorism and business. How this business comes about, there's urgent need to be investigated. I know that there's always the talk about the guns coming from Libya and migrating to Central Africa and the Arab Spring and all of that, but that is yet to be proven, because we know that the West also has the technology to produce those guns, and how these guns get to Africa is another tale. But what is important now is that we need guns no more. Is that technology is becoming more than the guns. And that is why IT is a very lucrative trade. Because you have a fight that is going on hacking systems. And we have a fight that you can pull down governments with just a computer.
Very interesting. Let me come to you, Bemba. Yes. When I was born, and I'm much older than you,
yes,
I used to read or hear politicians and leaders and rulers talk about how Africa consumes what it does not produce and produces what it does not consume. How can we come about with a paradigm shift that is for the benefit of the vast majority of African people? We have the resources. We are certainly not a poor continent, but our people are the poorest.
Yeah, that is a very good question. I think we need to rethink our ways of governance. As you said, Africa is very rich and we have all that it takes to be a developed country, but it's all about governance, it's all about leadership. A good example is Guinea, for instance. We are the first bauxite exporter for bauxite. We have the largest deposit of bauxite, but we end up exporting everything. So why do we do that? We need strong leadership that would turn those bauxite into aluminium, for instance.
Why can't you add value? African leaders talk about adding value, but they talk the talk without walking that talk.
Yeah, that's where we need strong leadership, because talking the talk without trying to walk the talk, it means nothing. We need to make sure that, you know, it's not only about policies or about, you know, paperwork. We need to make sure that entrepreneurs in Africa, they are dragged into, how do you call it, manufacturing. Guinea is a rich country, but every trade movement is based on export. So the government should be able to come out with policies that would drag some of those national entrepreneurs to go into manufacturing, because I believe that's where our economy would be much stronger, rather than just buying and selling.
Well, that is your challenge when you think about it in terms of the changing demographics. In tandem with social media, I think you can really make miracles. Let me go to the studio audience. Your name and affiliation, please.
Thank you. My name is Samir de Cruz Silva. I'm from the beautiful islands of Cape Verde. I don't have a question. I'm just, I have a comment about the question you made about American creating young African leaders. America is not creating African leaders. These young leaders here, they were already leader before coming here to the Mandela Washington Fellowship. What America is doing is help these young African leaders to develop their leadership skills and go back to their countries and make impact. For example, I am here as Mandela Washington Fellow. I'm passionate about entrepreneurship, and I'm learning a lot about entrepreneurship and and innovation ecosystem. And I'm looking for go back home and try to apply this good practice in my country and make impact in young people and women. America is not creating young African leaders.
I got you. I got you somewhere from the beautiful Cape Verde.
Cape Verde, yeah.
What about Africa? Why can't Africa actually do it? I mean, let's face it, we have the African Union, for example, which is based in the Ethiopian capital of Addis Ababa.
Yes,
we have all the resources you can think about. In fact, I remember an author from Guyana, Walt Rodney, once wrote a book called How Europe Underdeveloped Africa. He might, in fact, have said how Africa developed Europe probably and North America. We have all the resources. Why can't we do it? Why can't we teach our own daughters and sons to be great leaders?
I think we are doing this. We have other programs, kind of program like this in Africa. We have,
for example,
Minds, a program linked with Mandela too. But we have more programs like this in Africa. For example, I did Yali Regional Leadership Center in Dakar. I went to Dakar with other young African leaders for some kind of program like this.
But it is Yali.
Yes, it's Yali, but in Africa.
An initiative started by former U.S. President Barack Obama, man from Kogelo Kenya.
Let me just tell you one thing. America is number one in the world. We are here to learn the good practice. what America is doing in our area, because this is not about learn about leadership. I'm in business entrepreneurship. I'm here to learn about entrepreneurship ecosystem, innovative ecosystem. America is number one in the world. That's why this experience is really good for us. It's really good for Africa. And I don't think we are here to learn how to learn about leadership here in America to apply the American leadership in Africa. No, we are here to get more experience, more knowledge about our area and go back home and apply this to make impact in our society.
Very interesting, Sam, from the beautiful Cape Town. I like that.
Can I come back to where you were so interested?
Yeah, you can add, but not longer than a minute.
Yeah, sure. Time I think we have similar programs in Africa. We have more Ibrahim. We have Tony Elumelu fellowships. Those are also true leaders in Africa that are trying to impact on the younger ones. But the truth is that the impact is not as much as that of Yali. So maybe this is a challenge for them to also try to maybe double the efforts they are already making.
When you talk about the Mo Ibrahim
yeah,
Foundation,
yeah?
Someone that I would probably claim to be a friend of mine.
Okay.
This is a man who has tons of money.
Yeah.
And is in the business, in fact, of rewarding African leaders for doing what they should, in fact, be doing.
Yeah.
Talking about Africans who rule their countries democratically and live democratically.
Yeah.
What is he doing for the youths like you?
There is a Mo Ibrahim Fellowship, and which is actually going on. The application is open. So it's similar to Yali, but as I said, the impact is not as much as Yali in terms of the number of fellows taking part of it.
And of course, you could probably also talk about Nigerian Tony
Elumelu.
Yes. Very good. Let's go back to the audience. Your name and affiliation, please.
I'm Irene Mirembe Chiguba, a social entrepreneur from Uganda, and I'm interested in the fellows sharing how they think their professional development experience is going to help us impact lives back home at the continent.
Very interesting, Irene. You came after Sam, who talked about the beautiful Cape Verde. Why wouldn't you claim that Uganda at least was once the power of Africa?
It is still the pearl of Africa. It is still the pearl of Africa.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Luis, would you like to respond to Irene, please?
So again, I'll just share the experience of the 2017 Mandela Fellow. I've been inspired by the Mandela Fellows that I've met, and especially Maliki, who worked with us, and even the new fellow that we have right now that's doing their PDA with us. If I look at what Maliki, for instance, have done in Botswana, he's gone and created his own little mastermind with a group of people that have the same thinking on trying to use everything that they've learned through the experience at the universities when they were here and the PDE in helping to create local solutions for themselves. I give, for instance, when we were doing the training on our platform, there was one day where we lost because the internet was just not working. And we had a group of students that were from the Google developer group that attended. And they were thinking, but we need a mobile solution because most people are on their cell phones. And so right there, some of them started trying to figure out how they can use our API and how they can develop a mobile solution for it. And so that scene, that was very inspiring to me because it's really looking at themselves and what can we do to create our own lives and our own solutions.
Thank
I don't
you.
Know if that answers your question.
Thank you very much. Next question and affiliation, please. Name and affiliation.
I'm Umu Kuma from Sierra Leone. I'm a Mandela Washington Fellow, and I'm presently doing my PD at the United States Department of Transportation. I work around transportation. YALI program has been very impactful, I can say, and I'm a testimony to that. And one of my big take home is the servant leadership. This is a comment, and my question will come later. And I urge all of us, go back. Don't be the boss, because coming into the United States for some African country is a big deal. You know, when you go back, you see an icon. And don't be puffed up, calm down and impact life. And I've learned that the more you're humble and share your knowledge, the more you impact lives. And that is one big take-home the YALI program have taught me. And to my question, how does it feel to the panelists working in an American institution? You know, sometimes the placement might not actually match to what exactly you're doing. But are you actually learning something? And how does it feel to work in an American institution? Thank you.
You come from a very interesting country.
Yes.
The founding president, Leopold Sedar Senghor, the man that could in fact have won the first Nobel Prize for Literature. You had a great man called Osman Sembeni. He taught me to love African films. You have Cheikh Anta Diop. You know what he did about the pyramids. Great. Would you like to respond to...
Actually, I've had a fabulous experience at the International Republican Institute. And maybe I give credit to IREX for that, because when I look at their website, it's just like what I'm doing, just copy and paste. And to figure out what the fellows do and link them up to a particular institution is really a great deal. And right now I have my bones actually hurting, because they keep me on my feet and they make sure I've met not less than 12 different organizations since I started PD, and I have 2 weeks to meet 8 or more.
I see.
To tell you how much experience that they want to give me. They work daily. They want to make sure that they achieve your goals, your personal and professional goals. They are on my work plan every day to make sure that they are meeting up. It's just like IREX is going to whip them up if they don't get this done. But I actually find them really interesting, and they keep me intact. They keep me in contact. They are more interested in the after fellowship, making sure that I can translate this into reality in the field when I go back to Cameroon.
Very interesting. Remember, what have you learned from some of these questions from the studio audience so far?
Yeah, the last question is a very interesting one. I believe that it's not about what is there for you, but what can you do out of what is there for you?
Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. You're talking about a former American president here.
Yeah.
John or Jack Fitzgerald Kennedy.
Yeah. Yeah. So to me, that's very important. When I heard that I was placed at Management Leadership for Tomorrow, I wasn't happy. But believe me or not, from now, I believe that is the best place to be. I'm with Desiree at the Alumni Engagement and Strategy. I've learned a lot. I've learned how to engage with people. I was thinking that I know a lot about, coming with people, mingling with people. But through MNT, I've realized that is more than what I was thinking. Now I can engage with anybody I want. I'm engaged in so many things. As I earlier said, it's about what you can do. I don't wait for them to come to me. I go to everybody within the office. And it's a good thing for me to go back and try to change the way people see about organization.
Unfortunately, time is not our best ally. Mm-hmm. On that note, our distinguished guests, Mandela Washington Fellows, are Nomfundo Mukize, Clifford Niba Akonye, Bemba Kabinet Koita, and last but not least, Louisa Nakamuku B. Diggs. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter Africa. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.